You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Our guest today, Julie Bogart, is the author of the new book, Raising Critical Thinkers, A Parent's Guide to Growing Wise Kids in the Digital Age. And Julie is joining us today to guide us through some things that we need to know as parents. Julie, I'm so happy to be talking with you today.
Thank you for having me.
I have to say, and I told you this offline, that when I saw the title of your book, Raising Critical Thinkers, my heart leaped a little bit for joy, Julie, because I feel like we're missing this aspect of raising our kids in a lot of circumstances.
Yeah, I think because critical thinking is often imagined as being critical of the other guy over there with the bad ideas, and you want to drill a hole in his theory, that sometimes we feel like we're being critical thinkers because we can see the flaws in someone else's argument. But to be a critical thinker means to evaluate evidence, to notice your own bias as it's kicking into gear, to be able to consider a variety of perspectives, even when they make you uncomfortable, and then, only then, to render a possible verdict, what you believe to be true for now. It doesn't mean that you are declaring a once-for-all-time doctrine. So for me, critical thinking involves a level of self-awareness that a lot of us are sometimes just not aware we need.
You know, it's interesting. I have a 13-year-old, and we were having a conversation the other day, and he was like, and it was about a religious teaching. And he was like, oh, so mom, you don't believe that? And I said, no, that's not it. I think that in a lot of ways, the world wants us to see everything in black and white, but we live in shades of gray. And what I want for you is to make your decision based in those shades of gray, right? Like, think it doesn't mean that how you believe is right or wrong, or how someone else believes is right or wrong, but come to your belief system by looking at all the gray that we live in. And so is that part of it too? To me, that's how I think of critical thinking.
Yeah, I think what you're trying to point to is that there are more perspectives to take into consideration than a singular one, right? We've been trained in our school system to think there is one right answer determined mm-hmm. by an authority, and that if we just put that out there, everyone will agree. And I really think that's why we're in this sort of PTSD moment with the internet. We got online expecting that we could declare our sound reasoning with our authorities with this one fact, and everyone would fall in line. What we didn't account for was the way that our belief systems are actually shaped by our community loyalties, for instance. If you are a member of a religious group, a political group, a perspective like breastfeeding or putting mm-hmm. your kids in school or not, or home birthing or hospital birthing, what ends up happening is there's a package of beliefs you need to assent to be a member. And the problem comes when you're confronted with contradictory ideas, evidence, facts, statistics that might risk your membership with those people. So a lot of times we go to this zero-sum thinking because mostly we're afraid of getting kicked out of the groups we value. We don't feel like we'll be a welcome member. To make the world safe for critical thinking means that you welcome dissent in the midst of your group, that it's okay to express doubt, reconsideration, nuance, gray area, to use your word, and you are still a welcome member.
And I think one thing that you talk about in the book is this idea of you don't need to get everything right. What you need is to have insight. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I also think, especially in the school systems, it's kind of like, well, this is right and this is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, the way Paulo Freire talks about it, education reformer, he says that the model we use for education is the banking concept. Kids are seen as empty vessels, empty bank accounts, and the teachers are depositing information, facts, and skills that they will need to be adults. But the truth is, none of us are empty. We don't have open minds. We have full minds. We come with our backgrounds, our family experiences, our religion, our socioeconomic context, our experiences of race or discrimination. And those actually shape how we receive any information that comes to us. So for our families to do the task that school seems unable to do, we have to create in our own family communities opportunities for our children to test their beliefs. So let's say you have a child who says, well, I think playing the computer game for 24 hours is my ideal. I want to play without stopping. Why not test that data? Why not give him the opportunity to have that experience? Check in periodically. What are you going to do about peeing? Who's going to sit in for you when you're in the middle of a battle, but you need to eat dinner? How are you going to get food? Do you need me to make you some? And then as that child's falling asleep, writing it down, well, you made it 8 hours. I don't know why you couldn't make it 9. Why do you think that is? In other words, we fit our children for this task when we take them seriously and we are fascinated by them more than, you know, indoctrinating them into the team right ideas of the parent couple or, you know, whoever is raising the child.
And what about the idea, too, of how critical thinking comes into play? And you mentioned this briefly, things about like our own personalities, our experiences, our biases, right? I mean, whether they're I mean, that all plays into this.
It's the core of it. And in fact, the more visible we can make our own bias, the better off we'll be. It becomes a habit. It becomes something that you can actually recognize. For instance, in the early days of the internet, I was very reactive. I would get in these sort of theological debates, parenting debates, where I felt like I had the truth. And if I just expressed it in long form, someone would be converted, right? But there was a moment where I started paying attention to that reactivity. So I'd be reading along and I'd get uncomfortable. Someone was saying something that seemed possibly true, but violated what I had been taught was the truth. I started to notice that and realize, oh, this is a moment where I can learn something. I don't have to adopt it yet or even ever at all. But why is it a threat? What is it about this idea that maybe I should consider? And so now it's a reflex for me. If I'm reading an article and I have that reactive experience, I pause and I dig a little deeper and I go look at the sources and I look for other people who are saying similar things to try and figure out what is the argument this person wants me to consider before I even reject it.
So before I let you go, and before I let you go, I do want to ask you about ways or methods that we can help our kiddos identify misinformation online, because I mean, my kids are, I mean, they use, you know, Chromebooks at school, right? They all, they're online at school. They're online at home. I mean, it frankly is part of their culture and that's not going to stop.
No, it is not. So we want to ask them questions, things like, where did the data come from? What do you hope will be true? That's a great question to surface bias.
Oh, I love that.
If you already know what you hope will be true, you're already revealing your bias. What are you afraid might be true? What would that mean to you if that were true? So you're starting to help your kids evaluate their relationship to the information, not just fact versus non-fact.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today and for your insight into this. It's so important that we are talking about this and doing this with our kids right now.
Thank you for having me. I love talking with you.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Julie Bogart. She is the author of Raising Critical Thinkers, A Parent's Guide to Growing Wise Kids in the Digital Age. Her book is out now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.